Yeah. Then are there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
And the battle between truth and Trump. The free press, and a president whose survival in politics increasingly depends on convincing supporters to ignore the facts, to detest journalists, and to even deny what you see with your own eyes.
We are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake. They are the enemy of the people. Just stick with us. Don't believe the you see from these people, the fake news. And just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
What we are witnessing here is an added new chapter to George Orwell's 1984, where up is down and down is up, and sometimes now it happens in the same day.
Speaking of monsters, President Trump is in Europe right now. He's spent the past 3 days in London. He's now at his golf club in Ireland. That is not a joke, he is. Today, His Majesty joined the Queen to commemorate the 75th anniversary of D-Day, which Trump, you know, initially agreed to attend because he thought the D stood for Donald, but they explained what it was, and to his credit, he stayed anyway. Trump commemorated this solemn occasion by insulting his enemies back home via Twitter. He went after Sleepy Joe Biden, the Democrats, the media that's out to get him. It's always a good thing to spend the morning of D-Day whining about how vicious the attacks against you are, but before he went to bed, before he laid down his orange head, he made a little visit to Twitter to pick a fight with Bette Midler for D-Day. Now, before I show this, keep in mind this is a real tweet from the actual president of the United States who wrote, washed-up psycho Bette Midler was forced to apologize for a statement she attributed to me that turned out to be totally fabricated by her in order to make your great president look really bad. She got caught, just like the fake news media gets caught, a sick scammer. See, he had dinner. He had a royal dinner with Prince Charles. He went back to his hotel, and this is what he's thinking about, Bette Midler retweeting something. He listens to the tributes to the troops who attacked the Germans on the beaches at Normandy, and what does he do? He attacks the star of the movie Beaches. Because the only beach Donald Trump would storm is spring break in Daytona. But this, by the way, is not the first time Trump has lashed out at Bette Midler. This has been going on for years. He's criticized her looks, her singing, her appearance on the Oscars. He doesn't like her at all, which I don't made me wonder why, where this animosity came from. And I've been doing some research. I think I figured it out. It all starts with a popular movie from 1993, Hocus Pocus. Now, this movie begins in 1693 during the Salem witch trials, which is interesting because Trump is always complaining about witch hunts. So in the movie, Bette Midler plays Winnie, one of three witches who are sisters, the Sanderson sisters. There's Winnie Sanderson, Mary Sanderson, and Sarah Sanderson. Sarah Sanderson, as in, what's the name of his press secretary? Sarah Hokapokaby Sanders is her name. And it goes far deeper than that. You know where the movie Hocus Pocus was filmed? It was filmed in Whittier, California, which everyone knows is the home of none other than Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was the last president to be impeached by a witch hunt. So at this point, Well, you're probably saying, big deal. These are all just a bunch of random connections. Well, that's because I still haven't showed you what President Trump would call the smocking gun. The father in the movie Hocus Pocus is played by an actor named Charles Rocket, who was best known as a former cast member on Saturday Night Live, a show that regularly attacks Donald Trump, a show that is going into its 45th season, number 45. Which president is Donald Trump? Number 45. Are you with me on this?
Yes.
Now, wait, there's about a half hour more. Charles Rocket was also in the movie Murder at 1600, which is about a president who covers up his son's illegal activities. That film starred Wesley Snipes. What happened to Wesley Snipes after that movie? He went to prison because of what? His tax returns. It's a bombshell, right? But hold on, because I still haven't told you the name of the character Charles Rocket plays in Hocus Pocus. His character's name is David Dennison. Does that name ring a bell? Well, it should, because it's the alias Donald Trump used to pay off the porn star Stormy Daniels. David Dennison. Donald Trump got embroiled in a witch hunt for paying off a porn star while using the name of a character in a movie about a witch hunt, and that is why he hates Bette Midler.
So we can't go upside down?
Upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively. Round and round, you're turning me.
In many ways, the Mueller report is to President Trump what the so-called Watergate roadmap was to President Richard Nixon.
The president tweeted, for all the money we're spending, NASA should not be talking about going to the moon. We did that 50 years ago. They should be focused on the much bigger things we are doing, including Mars, of which the moon is a part. Defense and science. Hey, what? The moon is a part of Mars? Is that defense or science?
You were not able to serve in Vietnam because of a bone spur condition in your feet.
It's as if my injury doesn't matter.
It was 1969, and I was shipping out for my fifth deferment from Vietnam. Nixon had been elected. Loser John McCain was still in a POW camp for being a total loser, and my foot had an appointment with a podiatrist. America's most notorious draft dodgers were there. Dutch, an English major from Yale. Snake Stan from Harvard, an English major. And Grunt, by God, he was only 18, celebrating his last summer before shipping off to Yale for his double major in literature and English. Give it to me straight, Doc. Exactly how my dad told you to.
You have bone spurs.
I left my innocence on the carpet of that podiatrist's office. We all did.
Do you wish you'd been able to serve? Would you like to have served your country?
Well, I was never a fan of that war, I'll be honest with you. I thought it was a terrible war. I thought it was very far away. Nobody ever, you know, you're talking about Vietnam, and at that time, nobody ever heard of the country.
He was never a fan. It was so far away. Nobody'd heard of the country. Now, if we'd gone to war with Cabo, I would have signed right up. I would have been there.
Trump said he had this big win on Friday when Mexico agreed to step up border security to keep Central American migrants from coming into the U.S. In exchange, the president agreed not to impose planned tariffs on Mexico. So, according to Donald Trump was the hero, saving the world's economy from the clutches of that maniac, Donald Trump. But then, on Saturday, the New York Times reported that Mexico agreed to take these border actions months before Trump announced the tariff deal. So, the threats of tariffs, the negotiations, the deal itself, were all fake. It was like some sort of theater. In this case, The Lion King.
Let's pretend.
Let's pretend.
Specifically, the Times reported that the centerpiece of Trump's deal was an expansion of a program to allow asylum seekers to remain in Mexico while their legal cases proceed. But that arrangement was reached in December. So Trump is just taking credit for deals that were already in place.
I'm also proud to announce that the Berlin Wall is coming down. The hostages have been released by Iran, and I have purchased Louisiana from France.
According... According to the Times, Mexico also agreed to deploy its National Guard to its southern border, but the Mexican government had already pledged to do that in March during secret talks in Miami with Kirstjen Nielsen. Evidently, those talks were so secret, even Donald Trump hadn't heard about them. But you know what they say, ignorance is president. If all of this stuff had already been agreed to, then why the negotiations? One CNN analyst thinks that the deal with Mexico was mostly about saving presidential face. Trump also tweeted,
Mexico has agreed to immediately begin buying large quantities of agricultural products from our great patriot farmers.
Believe me, Mexico's paying for the wall, okay? That's it.
If I win, if I become president, Mexico will pay for the wall.
And by the way, Mexico will pay for the wall. They will pay for the wall. That I can tell you.
Mexico's going to pay for the wall. They don't know it yet. They don't know it yet. They're starting to have a very good idea, but that's okay.
And Mexico's going to pay for the wall, and they'll be happy to do it.
It's no surprise that on Saturday, Mexican officials said that agricultural trade hadn't been discussed. But he said it was discussed. Is Trump holding negotiations with imaginary friends?
Senior Mexican secretary, your country must buy more corn and soybeans from the United States.
Sorry. After this report, Trump was not happy. Winesplaining,
if President Obama made the deals that I have made, both at the border and for the economy, the corrupt media would be hailing them as incredible and a national holiday would be immediately declared with me, despite our record-setting economy, and all that I have done, no credit.
No, it's true. It's true. Trump gets no credit. That's why he had to borrow the money from the Russians. Trump is taking a very hard line on China. Yesterday, he threatened to slap tariffs on another $300 billion of Chinese exports to the United States if China's leader Xi Jinping doesn't meet him at the G20 in Japan. China has responded to Trump's tariffs with their own tariffs on a lot of U.S. agricultural products. Now, you would think that not buying our corn and our soybeans would be hard on our farmers. But Trump says, no.
The best thing that ever happened to the farmers is me. The farmers are my best friend. Nobody has treated the farmers better than Donald Trump.
I've treated the farmers so well with a job here and a job there. Here a job, there a job, everywhere a job. I'm sorry, did I say farmers? I meant strippers.
Then Trump defended his immigration deal with Mexico. Here's the thing, though. Trump insisted that there were more new great things in the deal, tweeting,
more importantly, some things, dot, not mentioned in yesterday's press release, one in particular, were agreed upon, that will be announced at the appropriate time.
Mexico's foreign minister said that no secret immigration deal existed between his country and the United States. Trump just loves to make huge promises on behalf of Mexico without asking them.
We're going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it. Also, we have a secret deal with Mexico that's going to stop all illegal immigration. And on Cinco de Mayo, if you're a good girl or boy, Mexicans will come down your chimney and put tortillas under your pillow in exchange for your baby teeth, which they then put in the maracas.
So today, Trump answered his doubters in a way that I think deserves that we just take a moment. Every so often, you have to take a moment, like I'm asking you to do right now, to appreciate what a bizarre person is leading our country. Just take a moment before we do this. Cleanse your palate with the thought of any other president doing anything like this.
That's the agreement that everybody says I don't have. So, no, because I'm going to let Mexico do the announcement at the right time. From Mexico, they want to go through, but here's the agreement. It's a very simple agreement. This is one page. This is one page of a very long and very good agreement.
Look, look, if I don't have a secret agreement with Mexico, then how do I have this people's paper right here? How do I have a piece of paper that I will not read to you, okay? Okay, and here's Middle East peace right here. It smells so fantastic, like this. Is that, yes, peace right there. There you go, all right. Okay, we got the Mexico deal, we got Middle East peace, and hold on, the Colonel's secret recipe right here. Just 7 herbs and spices.
I just give you my word. Inside here, and I would love to do it, but you will freeze action it, you will stop it, you will analyze it, every single letter you'll see, but in here is the agreement.
Well, the Washington Post did freeze action it, and you can actually read what it says. Once again, Trump is foiled by his arch nemesis, sunlight and reading. Washington Post analyzed it, and here's what it says. Mexico hereby promises to provide asylum to any U.S. president fleeing the FBI, shall hide him under the name Donaldo El Guapo Trumpistador, and furnish him with unlimited chalupas. Wow.
That's what it says.
It's all right there. Okay, it's not what it says. Actually, it says a bunch of stuff, kind of boilerplate, about Mexico having 45 days to address the flow of migrants, but there's nothing in there that's a secret thing that we haven't heard about before. And as the Post puts it, it's unlikely the letter has extensive guidelines for what the deal entails, given that there is only 1/3 of a sheet of paper above the one visible paragraph.
Wrong. That's the secret 1/3, okay? It's got everything on there. The Mexico deal, my tax return, the true color of my face. It's Sherman Williams 405, beached squid.
Now, for some reason, the press continued to play along with the agreement Trump definitely had.
This will go into effect, and it's my option. It's not Mexico's, but it will go into effect when Mexico tells me it's okay to release it.
So, it's Trump's option that Mexico will tell him when it's okay for him to release it. What would you say about someone who phrases it like that?
I think he's the weakest mentally.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Pelosi now apparently telling senior Democrats she'd like to see Trump behind bars. Based on no actual crime, she wants a political opponent locked up in prison. That happens in banana republics, beyond despicable behavior. And by the way, they would literally turn, in many ways, the USA into a country we no longer recognize.
Okay, so put a pin in that. It sure would, Sean. And just in case irony really is dead, we wanted to get on the record with this headline. Remember when the New York Times revealed that Donald Trump tried to ask the Justice Department to prosecute Jim Comey and Hillary Clinton? It was a move foreshadowed at his MAGA rallies. They chanted, "Lock her up."
Tell you what, for what she's done, they should lock her up. She deleted the emails. She has to go to jail. I think Hillary is very weak. I think she's pathetic. I think she should be in jail for what she did with her emails.
The Mueller report came out,
And the afternoon it came out, I sat down and started reading it. And I read it all afternoon, and I read it all night, and I read it into the next morning, all 448 pages. I got to the end, and there were three things that are just, man, there's no avoiding them. Part one, a hostile foreign government attacked our 2016 elections for the purpose of getting Donald Trump elected. Part two, then-candidate Donald Trump welcomed that help. And part three, when the federal government tried to investigate part one and part two, Donald Trump, as president, delayed, deflected, moved, fired, and did everything he could to obstruct justice. If he were any other person in the United States, based on what's documented in that report, he would be carried out in handcuffs. Now, I get that this is politically tough. I get it. But some things are bigger than politics.
This is the kind of evidence. We've got this breaking in the last hour. We're going to hear a tape. It was a phone call between the president's former lawyer in the Mueller investigation, John Dowd. It was a voicemail that he left on the cell phone or landline for Mike Flynn's lawyer. It sounded a whole lot like dangling a pardon or trying to influence testimony.
Hey, Rob. This is John again. Maybe I'm sympathetic. I understand your situation, but let me see if I can't state it in starker terms. If you have, it wouldn't surprise me if you've gone on to make a deal with, and work with the government. I understand that you can't join joint defense. That's one thing. If, on the other hand, well, there's information that implicates the president, then we've got a national security issue, or maybe a national security issue, I don't know. Some issue we've got to deal with, not only for the president, but for the country. So, then we need some kind of heads up. Just for the sake of protecting all interests, if we can, without you having to give up any confidential information. So, and if it's the former, then, remember what we've always said about the president and his feeling toward Flynn. That still remains, but in any event, let me know, and I appreciate your listening and taking the time. Thanks, Paul.
President Trump was asked, if a foreign government offers him information on his opponent, will he accept that help from a foreign government or a foreign national? Will he call the FBI?
Your son, Don Jr., is up before the Senate Intelligence Committee today. And again, he was not charged with anything. In retrospect, though,
not only wasn't he charged, if you read it, with all of the horrible fake news, I mean, I was reading that my son was going to go to jail. This is a good young man, that he was going to go to jail.
In June of 2016, just months before the election, Don Jr. received an email from a business associate promising dirt on Hillary Clinton from the Russian government. Don Jr.'s response, if it's what you say, I love it. The conversation led to a meeting in Trump Tower that included the president's son, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and a Russian lawyer. Don Jr. insists nothing came of it. And special counsel Robert Mueller concluded there was not enough evidence to charge a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia.
And then the report comes out, and they didn't even say, they hardly even talked about it.
Should he have gone to the FBI when he got that email?
Okay, let's put yourself in a position. You're a congressman. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I have information on your opponent. Do you call the FBI?
I don't think it's coming from Russia, you do.
I've seen a lot of things over my life. I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI. In my whole life, you don't call the FBI. You throw somebody out of your office. You do whatever
you do. Al Gore got a stolen briefing book. He called the FBI.
Well, that's different, a stolen briefing book. This isn't a stolen. This is somebody that said, we have information on your opponent. Oh, let me call the FBI. Give me a break. Life doesn't work that way.
The FBI director says that's what should happen.
The FBI director is wrong.
Your campaign this time around, if foreigners, if Russia, if China, if someone else offers you information on an opponent, should they accept it or should they call the FBI?
I think maybe you do both. I think you might want to listen. I don't, there's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI. If I thought there was something wrong.
President Trump said, you don't call the FBI. Those were his exact words. You don't call the FBI. That's what he said. He also said, I think I'd want to hear it. Those were his exact words. I'd want to hear it. Meaning he'd want to hear exactly what the foreign national or foreign government was actually illegally offering him. Here's what federal law says about this. It shall be unlawful for a foreign national directly or indirectly to make a contribution or donation of money or, this is the important part, other thing of value, or to make an express or implied promise to make a contribution or donation in connection with a federal, state, or local election. That law also says it shall be unlawful for a person to solicit, and here's the president's role in this, accept, that word accept, solicit or accept or receive a contribution or donation from a foreign national. President said he would accept it.
There was sort of a theory out there that you could make somewhat credibly that the president, not just in his public comments, but in the way the White House was sort of stonewalling nearly every single request from Congress, that they were basically sort of trying to double dog dare Democrats into impeaching the president. And so the truth is the president is a little impeachment curious. There's parts of it that he finds intriguing. But at the end of the day, just about everyone I talked to said, President Trump does not in any way actually want to be impeached.
We all know how the story ends. It's just a matter of how many pages before we get there.
Thanks for the song this week from
Buffalo, Springfield,
Diane,
Ross,
the magnetic
fields,
and
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rudy Giuliani, Rod Serling, Ari Melba,
Michael
Moore,
Jimmy
Kimmel, Mike Wheeler,
Jeff
Dean Piers, Morgan Stephen Colbert, Sean Hannity, Nicole Wallace, Elizabeth Warren,
Jeff
Dowd, Lawrence
George
Stephanopoulos,
Ashley
Parker,
and
Eric Swalwell.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.